Lopez leading from third, Mondesi second, two down, 0-1. Swing, and a shot toward the gap in right center. That's in for a hit. It goes all the way to the fence. One run is in, two runs are in. Hunter Dozier does it again with an opposite field two-run double, and the Royals lead is 3-0.
Royals go on to win 5-1. Danny Duffy, outstanding, three straight wins as a starter. As he goes six innings yesterday, Ned Yost on Danny Duffy as the Royals avoid the sweep and do what they do in every series, win one out of three.
He did a great job. I mean, from the first inning on, you could tell that he was sharp. He never looked like he labored to me. Even when he got, 100 pitches in the end, he took the ball off the foot, give a little sore. But Cozart was going to be his last hitter. Threw the ball extremely well. He changed speeds extremely well. And did a great job of saving that run in that inning. I mean, he ended up giving up the one, but, it's a different game if they score that next run. And he did a great job of limiting the damage there. Great job.
So the Royals get the win to avoid the sweep. Royals now 16-31, which means they win one out of every three games. They are consistent when it comes to all that. They're in St. Louis, take on the Cardinals. My bet is they're going to win one of those games, and they'll lose the rest of them. It's Homer Bailey on the hill, who has not been very good lately. 4-4 ERA over 5, as the Royals will be in St. Louis tomorrow. They get the off day today as they travel, so they'll be in St. Louis tomorrow at 7:15, and then Brad Keller on the hill on Wednesday. And then it's actually just two games. So that's going to be tough
Thursday
on this whole thing.
Yeah.
So this is going to be tough. They're going to lose half a game and win two and a half. No, they're going to lose two and a half and win half a game. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to all work. They were going to win a third of the two games. Yeah. Well, here's what they're going to do. How many games they got with the Yankees? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, see? Yeah, that's going to mess up this whole
situation.
You got
to have Monday and Thursday off this week.
Apparently. And then, we have to rest then somebody after that because they need a rest so we can get Chris Owings onto the field.
Yeah.
We got to get Chris Owings out there because he's vital to our team's success. I don't understand it. Chris Owings needs to just go bye-bye. I mean, the guy is lost to the plate. Can't do anything at the plate. And yet the Royals keep shoving him out there. We send down Gutierrez, and then Owings is starting a third yesterday. I don't even know what to say.
No,
I'm running out of words.
We're past anything like that makes any kind of sense to say. It's unexplainable. Right
he got now. A hit yesterday. He also struck out three times.
He got an RBI.
He's hitting 142.
Yeah,
he got a hit, but he struck out three times. Chris Owings has 127 at bats, which is way too many for a utility guy. Way too many at this time of the year. He does two home runs. His on-base percentage is .204, which is god-awful. That is hard to do. That is hard to
do. Especially when you're a quote-unquote veteran in the major leagues.
You're right. his last seven games, and it'd be one thing if, he's starting to turn it around. Last 30 games, Chris Owings hitting .158. Last 15 games, under .100. Yeah. He's starting to turn around. Last seven games, he is hitting .120. Here's the great part about Chris Owings. 12 strikeouts and 25 at-bats in the last seven games, which means he doesn't even put the ball in play.
No.
Why? For the love of you-know-what, is Chris Owings playing so often? Why?
We can't even use that excuse we always use with Chris Getz, he's got something on Ned Yost. There's no way he's got something on Ned Yost. He hasn't been here long enough.
Listen, we've stuck him at second for 13 games, third base 10 games, shortstop 3, center field 7, right field 5. Whit Merrifield can do all that.
Yeah.
And Gutierrez was hitting the ball all right. I know he wasn't great defensively, but Chris Owings isn't great defensively either. I don't understand it. I don't understand the infatuation with Chris Owings. I thought Nicky Lopez coming up, that'd be it for Owings. And nope, he's still on the team. He's an integral part of the team. He wasn't part of the team until this year. He's not an integral part of the team. He's 27 and he's lost at the plate. Maybe he'll figure it out, but he's not figuring it out here. And I'm sure he doesn't have options left.
No.
But let him go. I mean, there isn't anybody
DFA Chris Owings, you're not going to lose.
Come on. There isn't anybody in the minors that can hit .120 and strike out 12 out of 25 at bats. There's nobody
like
in the minors that
Bubba
can do
Bubba Starling was doing for a while down in the...
Yeah, Bubba's hitting 355.
He can do that in the majors.
Well, Gutierrez, I mean, just... Because if you got Lopez at second, he's your everyday second baseman. If he needs a break, then you put Witt at second. And you've got enough outfielders. Mm-hmm. So you don't... What do you need Owings for? If you left Gutierrez up here and let go of Owings, you would have Gutierrez could play third, Dozier can play third, Dozier can play first, O'Hearn can play first. You got Witt who can play second. Witt can play any of the outfield positions. He's your utility guy, even though he's an everyday player. Montes has set it short. He doesn't need a day off. I'm sorry. He's 23, for crying out loud. Hamilton can play center. You got Gordon in left. You got Soler in right. And if you, well, now you got Witten right. So Soler being a DH, okay, that's fine. And then you need to spell a guy. Terrence Gore is hitting 400. I didn't think Terrence Gore's a better hitter than Chris Owings crying out loud. Terrence Gore wasn't allowed to pick up a bat for 4 years at the major league level. And he's hitting 400. Why not? I want more Terrence Gore. At least Terrence Gore, you know, seems to put the ball in play.
Yeah, even if the like the swing goes away, you have a better chance of putting Gore up there and just letting him bunt to get use his speed to get on than you do letting Chris Owings keep going up there.
Terrence Gore has only had 25 at-bats this year. He has 10 hits and 25 at-bats. Chris Owings' last 25 at-bats, he struck out 12 times. Gore struck out 7 times in the last 25 at-bats. That's not great, but it's better than Chris Owings. The OBP, the on-base percentage for Terrence Gore, is .423, twice as good as Chris Owings.
Yeah.
And yet, Gore only gets to play once a week. That's how Owings should play. Once a week. Yeah, no, he shouldn't. He shouldn't play at all.
No, yeah.
So I don't know what the Royals are doing. I don't. I don't understand how Chris Owings is a big part. He's not part of the future, okay? He's not. Let's move on. Let's get somebody up here. Gutierrez is fine. We have plenty of flexibility because of Witt. We just don't need Chris Owings on this team. But, hey, whatever. We'll keep losing 2 out of 3 and be proud of Chris Owings. He'll figure it out. The guy struck out against an outfielder that pitched him 3 lollipops down the middle. He watched every one of them for a strike a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. That's why we have Chris Owings, because as you pointed out, he needs to come in and throw an inning and 2/3 when we're down 12-1.
Yeah.
So he saves the bullpen.
Told everybody on Friday why Owings is still on the team.
That's why Chris Owings is on this team. I don't get it. Anyway, moving on. Local sports information. Got a lot of athletes that qualify for state track and field. We've got state softball for the Beloit Lady Trojans this Thursday night against Silver Lake out at Emporia. So Dusty can fill you in on what took place over the weekend. He was up at Washington there on Friday.
Yeah, and it'd take a long time to go through all those results, but we can tell you that the Lincoln girls finished second place there at Washington County on Friday and had a great showing in the distance running. J.C. Vath and Aubrey Donnelly have qualified in 3 different events each, and so they'll have a chance at some success. Aubrey Donnelly is a 2-time defending state champion. She won both the 400 and 800, I should say, last year. She's a 4-time state qualifier in both of those events. So that was probably the highlight. And then Brady Pollan, who's had an outstanding year in the high jump for St. John's, qualified for state as a regional champion. Caleb Hake had a school record throw in the javelin for Lakeside and qualified for the state meet. Just some of the highlights there from Friday. Full results from all of our track and field Thursday and Friday can be found at ncksports.com. So you can check that out and see all the qualifiers and all the top 4 in each event make it to state if you're looking at all those results. So again, congratulations to all those state qualifiers. They'll be in Wichita this Friday and Saturday at Cessna Stadium. And we'll have a preview of state track coming up later this week here on our sports and our sports cast on the sports ticket as well. So that's what's coming up here this week. As Wade mentioned, the boys softball team begins state play coming up on Thursday against Silver Lake in the first round of the 3A state tournament at 7 o'clock Thursday night in Emporia. So keep an eye on that, and we'll see how well the Lady Trojans can do out of state. Also, today is state golf as well. Some of the state golf has been moved up to 8 8 o'clock for the 1A and 2A meets, so they're already underway in both of those state meets. Again, as we've mentioned, the Sand Green State Golf Tournament was moved to Wednesday at La Crosse because of the field, or the course conditions, I should say, and the possibility for the weather coming in today. So, again, we'll have 1A and 2A results. Hopefully by the end of the day, we'll be able to tell you how everybody finished. Osmond qualified their whole team, so Grady Walters, Steele Walters, Brandon Beffert, Lathe Watkins, and Tate Lance, and Caden Miller are all competing today, and Aaron Moss was our lone qualifier from the area in Class 2A. We didn't have anybody qualify from the area for 3A, but that's going on today as well. So, again, we'll have 1A and 2A results for our area athletes, hopefully by our 5 o'clock sportscast here tonight at State Golf.
And state softball coming up Thursday night. Bullitt's going to take on the defending champ.
Yeah.
First
Silver
round.
Lake's got a, like we said, that's at 7 o'clock in Emporia on Thursday, and they're they got a history of softball tradition.
Yes.
I was talking about that on Friday. I was like, Silver Lake's just got a tradition.
In every sport.
Pretty much any sport.
Except boys basketball.
Yeah. But
that one time they made state, they beat Beloit in first round.
And it seems like Beloit has to see them a lot.
It does.
And when they're
state
trying
championship
when they're trying to make school history, they always have to go up against Silver Lake, it seems like.
Volleyball, they were stopped a few times by them. Yeah. Yeah, but to be the best, you got to be the best.
Oh, yeah, without question.
There's no weak sister in that bracket.
No, that's the 8 seed has 17 and 6, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good bracket.
And the other thing is some of those records are deceiving because they play even bigger classifications further to the east. And, well, it's going to have to play well, but you have to play well when you get to state. And they've earned it, their first ever trip to state, and they'll be playing Thursday night against Silver Lake at 7 o'clock. All right, anything else sports-wise here locally that we need to cover?
That covers local sports.
All right, let's jump to golf, where Brooks Koepka gets it done again.
It's been so much fun these last, 2 years? It's pretty close to 2 years. It's incredible. I don't think I even thought I was going to do it that fast. I don't think anybody did. And to be standing here today with four majors is mind-blowing. Today was definitely the most satisfying out of all of them.
Brooks Koepka has won 4 of the last 8 majors. That's dominance.
It's impressive for sure.
That's dominance. In this day and age, that's dominance.
Yeah.
And he was in the hunt, and everybody got lost in, Tiger winning the Masters, but he was in the hunt. He just seems to rise the occasion when it's majors. He has more major wins, 4, than he has regular tournament wins, which is 2. So the guy knows how to bring it when it's, really important. And that's how... he's got 4 majors already, and he doesn't look like he's ready to slow down. He led from start to finish in this tournament. Yesterday, he was in full control to start, and then Dustin Johnson made a run. He had 4 straight bogeys and still won the tournament because he had just lapped the field. And as his fellow golfers, his peers said all week long, and after the third round, we're just playing for second. They actually said that out loud to the media. This is Brooks' week. Now, it got interesting yesterday, and there were a chance of DJ Dustin Johnson. And the reason that was is I don't think it had anything to do with not liking Brooks Koepka. It had to do with we want some drama because it's kind of boring, just some guy cruising through this tournament, dominating everything as Brooks Koepka was. And, it got down to a 1-stroke lead, and he had a 7-stroke lead to start. And he was able to put it together when he needed to towards the end. And he said the crowd chanting DJ actually got him kind of refocused and fired up a little bit. And Brooks Koepka seems to be a guy. Man, if you see his guns, by the way, his arms are, gee, willikers. This is a guy that doesn't show a ton of emotion on the golf course. He's somewhat robotic, but the guy's a terrific golfer. But he has a chip on his shoulder, man. And when they asked him after the third round, is there any doubt that you will win the tournament tomorrow in the fourth round, which was yesterday on Sunday, he said, no doubt. Just confidently said, no doubt. And that's what he should say.
Yeah.
Because he has a 7-stroke lead. And also is down to 1. I'm like, this could be one of the biggest choke jobs in the history of golf. Because when he said that, no doubt, I thought, oh, man, he's setting himself up.
Yeah.
That question set him up for, and he almost blew it. 4 straight bogeys. He says, I don't even remember the last time I'd had 4 straight bogeys. And he even said to the media, it was kind of a half choke job. I mean, he even admitted it, which I think is kind of refreshing for guys to say that.
Oh, yeah.
But Brooks Koepka is doing Tiger-like things. When Tiger was dominating, and granted, Tiger had had the Tiger Slam. He had all four championships at once. They just overlapped in regards to the seasons. But what Brooks Koepka has done, this is amazing. He has four major wins the last eight starts. Since the first Masters in 1934, the only players to do what Brooks Koepka has done, four majors in the last eight starts, can you name them? There's only three other golfers that have done what Brooks Koepka has done.
Well, Tiger.
Tiger's one.
Jack.
Yep.
And Arnold Palmer.
Good guess. Man. Ben Hogan. You got to go back.
We got to go back further, huh?
So you got the two greatest golfers of all time, Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that.
No.
And Ben Hogan, of course, was unbelievable in his day. Yeah. That's some elite company.
Before they came along, it was Ben Hogan. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
That's who it was. I'm not a golf historian to say anything like that, but those names are pretty much up at the top.
That is elite company. Out of this world elite company. Now, Brooks Koepka is going to be the answer to a trivia question. And let's say his career ends tomorrow. Let's just say that he decides to hang it up. I'm done. Or he has some kind of injury and he can't play anymore. Nobody will get that right when it comes to a trivia question.
Oh, no.
But here's the thing. They might get it right if he keeps doing what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's still a young guy. I don't know how old Brooks Koepka is. I have to look that up. But
I think he's only like 25 or something.
I'm going to say he's still young. So there is no question that he can still do some great things the rest of his career. And it doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon, to be quite honest. I mean, it was impressive for him to nearly blow the lead. There are guys in golf that would have absolutely wilted under that pressure yesterday. Oh, my gosh. Down to one stroke lead. They're chanting the other guy's name. He's on fire. I can't blow this. I mean, those things cross your mind when you're a golfer. Golf is so mental. Just so, so mental. No question there's physical part to it. But in order to win in golf, you have to be extremely tough-minded, thick-skinned. And Koepka was able to regain his composure, even though he never really showed he lost it. But he had four straight bogeys. He regained it.
Yeah.
How old's Koepka?
He's 29.
29. You're a little off there. 29. But in golf, that's still in your prime.
Oh, yeah. He's still very young for that.
So I think there's going to be more majors for Brooks Koepka. And when he hasn't won majors, he's still been in contention. And that's what Tiger would always do.
Yeah.
He's kind of the Tiger of the PGA right now. Except there's just not as much fanfare around him.
Yeah.
Because he's not a Tiger.
Yeah. I don't know.
By the way, Tiger never made the cut. He was done in two rounds. Yeah, he didn't make the cut.
Yeah. I was just like, after the deal happened where he won, was it the U.S. Open last year, and Tiger was second, and everybody was following him.
Right.
And after all that happened, I just liked the way that he handled himself.
Absolutely.
And you know, I kind of kept track of him a little bit since then, and just I kind of liked just his mentality and attitude on the course.
His demeanor.
Like I said, his demeanor, exactly. I don't watch golf. People know that. You know, I'm not going to sit here and watch an entire tournament and be into it, but I just kind of like the way he handles himself and his confidence. You can tell he's got confidence, and that helps with winning, too.
If you keep winning,
it's going to build, and obviously, like you said, he's going to go into the final day saying, yeah, I'm going to win this tournament. There's no question, no doubt. You know, it's going to happen, because that's the kind of mentality you have once you have that kind of success and you keep doing it. It's like asking the Warriors, are you going to win? Yeah, we're going to win. You know, we got the confidence right now. We got that. That's the mentality you need to have. And I've if I was going to sit there and watch golf, he'd probably be my favorite right now. Just the way he handles everything for me.
Well, and what he says yesterday, he goes, yeah, I kind of have a chip on my shoulder, but you know, Michael Jordan had a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, the best kind of do. Sometimes it's an internal chip on the shoulder that it spurs them on. It's that internal motivation that makes them be as good as they can. Like, they'll take, you know, Baker Mayfield's a great example, and he says it publicly. Like, he eats that stuff up. He uses that as fuel when all these people say, well, you can't do this. You're too short. You're not good enough. You're a walk-on. You can't play in NFL. You can't be number one pick. Well, you can't. It's the Browns. You can't do anything good there. He just continues to use that as fuel. You know, the best of the best look for that negative stuff to use it as fuel.
Oh, yeah.
So then what you hear from people is, well, look at the Patriots for crying out loud. Going into the Kansas City Chiefs AFC Championship game, what were they talking about?
Doubting us.
We're the underdogs. Like, yeah. No respect. And it's like, No, I didn't hear that.
To do it, but I guess we'll go out and try. Basically, is what Tom Brady was saying.
But that's what they. But they wanted that. Yeah. They came up. They kind of fabricated that.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. That was. Let's make some stuff up here that people actually aren't saying. But maybe one person said it, and then they took it and ran with it, saying everybody was saying
but
it.
But if that's what it took for them to get going, then it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was far-fetched or made
bought
up.
It, but
no.
But yeah, I mean, if that's what it takes, if you need to create your own bulletin board material, then I guess you got to do that. You know, some people. I mean, if you're that good already, and you can't find it somewhere else, I mean, somebody's got to put it in your mind and take it to the next level, I guess. So.
Well, it worked.
Yeah.
Maybe the Chiefs should try that next year. There's no question it worked.
I think there'll be
situation.
Plenty of people saying it about the Chiefs. They don't have to create their own, that they can't get it done at that time of the year because they just haven't.
Well, the Chiefs have had that for a long time. Okay. NBA playoffs. A couple things we want to touch upon here. First of all, just Kawhi Leonard is just a stud. Just an absolute freaking stud. That's as clean as I can do it because I want to. I mean, he's just. I love the guy. I did. I liked him in San Antonio. What I loved about San Antonio when he was there, and that's why it was so weird how that all ended, was he was just a matter of fact guy. He was known as a defensive player early in his career, and he's developed his offensive game. And I remember an article I read, I think it's Sports Illustrated, Popovich talking about Kawhi Leonard. He says he's so unassuming. He's respectful. He's a sponge. He soaks everything up. Guys love him. And then all of a sudden, things went south. It was just really weird how things went south in San Antonio. But yet, you never heard Kawhi say these bad things. We never really heard anything from Kawhi.
Kawhi never said a word.
No.
Nobody. He wouldn't talk to anybody.
So
not even the Spurs.
You still don't really know what went down with the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard's posse or what. But Kawhi Leonard's with the Raptors right now. Whether or not he's just with the Raptors this year, if he's going to re-sign with Toronto, if he's going to go to the Lakers, the Knicks, I don't know where he's going to go. I'll tell you this, he's bringing it. And I'm sure Spurs fans are saying, why didn't he bring it when he was hurt and played for us in the playoffs last year? But Kawhi, last night, 52 minutes he had to play in double overtime, and he was magnificent.
Green knocks it away. Kawhi.
Raptors had the win, and they did in double overtime at home, 118-112 over the Bucks. The Bucks still lead the best of 7, 2-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals. In the NBA playoffs, Kawhi Leonard with 36 points last night. He was sensational, and now you'll have to move forward to tomorrow night, which will be Game 4 in Toronto. And I think the question is, how much is in the tank for the Raptors? Because the Raptors are playing their starters more minutes. The Bucks are playing 9-10 guys over the course of a long series, and before the series began, I said this is going 7. And I still think it will be, although now I think the Bucks are sitting here really feeling good about themselves. Even though they lost last night, they were down quite a bit, came back, had chances to win, if not for a baloney call by the officials. I mean, Giannis, that was a charge on, I forget who was driving, Siakam. That was a charge, man. Yeah. And my son has said that the NBA is rigged. My 12-year-old says the NBA is rigged. And after watching that last night, I looked at him, I said, well, that adds to your case.
Yeah.
Because Kawhi got away with a double dribble when he made that great dunk.
That dunk that you just
said. Yeah, that was a double dribble.
Double dribble.
Completely missed it.
Yeah.
So they don't call that.
Yeah.
That was a key bucket, wouldn't you say? And Giannis fouls out early in the second overtime when it was clearly, that was one of the easier charge calls you can make. And they called a block. It's almost like, listen, Toronto has to win this game. Yeah. We might have a sweep in the other conference finals. We've got to make sure this goes long. We've got to make it longer. It did seem rigged. Based on those missed calls, it does seem rigged. I'm not going to deny it.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at a lot of things in the NBA and make that assumption. I mean,
sometimes I think they try to rig it, and it's just the other team's not good enough, and they still can't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Portland.
Yeah, we did everything we could. Sorry about that. You know, that's not our fault that you didn't make the shot and didn't take advantage of these calls that we gave to the other team in your favor. So, but yeah, I mean, you can watch regular season games and think the NBA is rigged.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's not that hard to make that leap. Well, and then when you think about the history where there has been an official that has actually rigged a game, like
right.
for his own good.
Yes.
I mean, that all can add to it, and You know, I don't know that I believe it's completely rigged, but I think there are some games that you can definitely feel like it is, just to make this last a little bit longer. You know, we don't want two sweeps here in the finals, in the conference finals. So we gotta figure out some way to make money here.
Well, it's kind of like golf. We were talking Brooks Koepka. I'm sure the PGA sitting and go, could we rig this thing to make it close?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Brooks. Maybe Brooks missed some putts on purpose. Maybe the fix is in just to make that interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
He said himself, well, I don't remember last time he had four straight bogeys, and he did. And it made it interesting. Maybe golf's rigged. We don't even know it. I don't think so, but it did make for interesting theater. Had he just been a machine and made those putts.
Oh, yeah, nobody would even.
One, doesn't help your ratings.
No.
And doesn't help CBS. And CBS would be really upset that Tiger was out. Didn't make the cut, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Golden State and Portland, and we said it before the series started, this is a unbelievably great matchup for the Warriors. I thought Portland would get a game. I don't think they will now. I heard Damian Lillard say after game three, you know, he could easily be up 2-1. You know, that's the difference between championship teams and pretenders. That's the difference. You coulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Listen, you blew game two, shoulda won. Kevin Durant hadn't even played in the series. You blew game two. Game three you blew as well, because game three you had an 18-point lead. And Golden State isn't worried about getting down. I don't care if Golden State gets down 30. They know they can come back. And so Steph Curry's been magnificent in the playoffs, especially since Durant went down with that calf injury. Durant will not play in the series unless maybe it goes to a game seven, which I don't think anybody sees that coming. Andre Iguodala is probably out with a calf. Not a calf, I think it's Achilles. Sore Achilles. And Golden State will probably still win tonight. Portland doesn't know how to beat Golden State. They're 1-11 in the last 12 playoff games against Golden State. And I really think Golden State was just absolutely stoked when they saw Denver lose a 17-point lead.
Yeah.
Because Denver would have been a much tougher matchup for Golden State. Golden State would have no answers for Jokic, I don't think. But I think the Nuggets would have problems, obviously, with Klay and Steph and Draymond. And Draymond's playing great right now. And so Steve Kerr was asked about Draymond Green, because he had triple-double in Game 3. Golden State came back to win in Portland, and they have a chance to close out tonight in Portland, 8 o'clock on ESPN, Game 4. And he said, you know, with KD out, there's more opportunities for Draymond to have the ball in his hands. The ball does move more with KD not on the floor.
Well, sure. Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah.
And so now I'm seeing people say just ridiculous stuff, though. Like, well, the Warriors don't need Kevin Durant to win a championship. Well, duh, they didn't. They won one without him. So we already know that, okay? But the question is, do they need him to win a championship this year? And my answer is yes, they do. And I see this, well, it's proof's in the pudding. Proof's in the pudding. Last 31 games, Durant has missed with the Warriors, and Curry's played, they're 30-1. But when Curry's been out and Durant's played, the Warriors are 29-19. So clearly the Warriors are much better without Kevin Durant. Let me ask this question, because I don't think the Warriors are really worried about regular season records and games, although the 30-1 does include four straight playoff wins without Durant, okay?
Yeah.
Can you help me out with a question? Do the Golden State Warriors win against Houston Rockets last year in the Western Conference Finals in seven games without Kevin Durant?
Absolutely not.
Thank you. And that series alone, I don't know if Golden State would have beat Cleveland the year after they blew the 3-1 lead if they would have won without Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant was MVP of the NBA Finals that year, and he absolutely did a wonderful job on LeBron James, even though LeBron got his numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they win that NBA Finals. First of all, I don't know if they get there, because the West has been tougher than the East. It's been tougher to get to the Finals than to win the Finals some years for the Warriors. Now, the Warriors won 73 games without Kevin Durant.
Yes.
And then they lost to the Cavaliers in seven games. They're like, well, listen, we could have a luxury here. We could grab KD, and now we're definitely going to win. The Warriors are still an NBA championship team without Kevin Durant. I think we all knew that before Durant got hurt. The ball moves more. Curry has the ball in his hands more. Now he ends up being the alpha dog. Steph Curry has given up and sacrificed numbers, even though he still has good numbers, for the betterment of the team to bring KD on board to win championships. And it's worked, hasn't it? They've won two championships in 2 years with Kevin Durant as a member of the Warriors. So it has been perfect 2 for 2. Have there been some rough patches? Sure. But Curry has stepped aside and has checked his ego at the door. But then when Durant goes down, all of a sudden Curry's like, okay, I have time to flip a switch. I remember when Durant said he was going to join the Warriors, I was like, I don't think they need him to win the championship. Because if Draymond Green doesn't get suspended for game 5, I think the Warriors...
I still think
if Draymond Green doesn't get suspended for game 5, the Warriors win that series, and I don't think KD is a Warrior.
Yeah. Definitely make that argument.
Possible.
Yeah.
We'll never know. So Durant's out, and all of a sudden people are talking about how the Warriors are just fine. They don't need Durant. Maybe people are right. Maybe the Warriors will play the Bucks and they'll win without Kevin Durant. But I think they need Kevin Durant to win it all this year. Obviously, they're fine with Portland. Perfect matchup. Worked out great. Durant, listen, I don't even know if the Warriors beat the Rockets this year without Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Let alone last year.
Yeah.
They took them 6 against the Clippers, and Durant was awesome until he got hurt against Houston.
Oh, yeah.
So you sit here, and it's so easy to suddenly just cast away Kevin Durant. He's one of the best players in the NBA. Some people think he is the best player in the NBA. I don't think he's the best player in the NBA, but I think he's one of the top 5 without question. You just lose Kevin Durant, and you're like, well, they don't need Kevin Durant. Well, yeah, they really never did, technically. But they do in order to win a championship probably the last 2 years they needed him, definitely last year.
Oh, yeah.
And they wouldn't be in the NBA Finals possibly for a 5th straight year without Kevin Durant. We just immediately forget what he's done this year in the playoffs. We forget he was the NBA Finals MVP, for crying out loud. Well, they don't need Kevin Durant. Really? Well, yeah, well, when they're playing the Blazers, they don't need Kevin Durant. I could argue they might not even need somebody else. They might not need Andre Iguodala and Kevin Durant against the Portland Trail Blazers. But when they play the Raptors or they play the Bucks, I got a feeling they're really going to need Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I had a buddy on Facebook after the game. Part of what, he's my best friend, part of what he does is trolling just to get people to comment on it, just to say things like Colin Coward, just throw stuff out there and see if somebody will say it. But he's like, I don't think I'm out of line when I say Golden State is actually better without Durant. Definitely don't need him to win this ring. So but here's the thing, is that's the blanket statement about two different things.
Absolutely.
Okay. They might not need him to win this ring. That team is not better without Kevin Durant.
No.
It's not physically possible.
No.
You can't take away what some people think is the greatest player in the NBA right now.
Right.
And say that team's better without him. The Bulls better without Michael Jordan. Cavs better without LeBron James.
Remember, Lakers better without Pippen LeBron was James. One of the top 50 players of all time. So yeah. When people say, well, Curry's better than Pippen. Pippen was pretty good.
Yeah. But it's just like, that's a blanket statement, like I said, about two different things.
Sure.
They might not need him to win this championship.
He might not.
He might be right when he says definitely don't need him to win this ring.
Right.
They might not. You know, obviously it's going to help if they have him and he's healthy. But, I mean, the team that they have can without question compete with either Toronto or Milwaukee.
Sure.
And can without question win that series.
Right.
But it could also go the other way without Durant. There's no like going into either one of those series saying, oh, without a doubt, there's no way that the other team's going to win. There is a very good possibility that they would win both of those without KD. But are you going to feel comfortable going into that with KD or without him? Which way are you going to feel more comfortable? There's no question it's with KD.
The Warriors are going for a three-peat, and there's no way the three-peat would even be in place right now without Kevin Durant.
No.
Because we just pointed out, they wouldn't have got by the Rockets last year without Kevin Durant.
Well, the year before
year
that,
before
I'm going to tell you right now, if Zaza doesn't run into Kawhi,
that's
the Spurs were up by
series.
20 points.
I know.
And then the injury happened, and then all of a sudden that ended.
Right.
It ended fast. And you don't know if Kawhi plays in that series, what that's going to do. And even if they still win it, they might wear him out for a 6-7 game series going into that Cleveland series come up, and it might change the dynamic of that. They ended up controlling Cleveland, obviously, but it's just like, you know, there's some things that without KD there, you're clearly not watching the last couple of years of basketball if you feel like they're better without KD.
The people that are making these and saying these things have only apparently watched the last 4.5 basketball games.
Yes.
Because if you really know basketball, if you know anything about basketball, and that's what Charles Barkley said the other day, he goes, if anybody that knows anything about basketball knows the Warriors are not better without Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He goes, and they know that they need him to win a championship. He goes, even the Warriors know that, for crying out loud. So it's a mute argument. I mean, the Warriors know they need him. That's why they went out and got him.
Yeah.
I mean, they would not have a three-peat. They wouldn't be going to the NBA Finals for the fifth consecutive year without Kevin Durant. Right now, did they go 2 years in a row without Kevin Durant? Yes, they did. They won it all. Then they lost in seven games of the Cavs. But we knew when they got Durant, they didn't have to have him. It was a luxury. And they felt like, hey, if we can get him, one, we weaken Oklahoma City Thunder, who should have beat him that year. So we make one of our biggest competitors weaker. So right there, it's an advantage. And now we have the luxury of having Curry and Thompson and Green and Durant. Now we got a guy that can go right up against LeBron, mano a mano, and that's exactly what happened.
Oh, yeah.
And Durant got the best of LeBron, although in fairness to LeBron, he didn't have the supporting cast that Durant had, of course. But we've known all along it's a luxury. Yeah, it's luxury to have. I mean, it's funny because when Durant got hurt, it was like, well, how are the Warriors going to be all right? Can they stem the tide? I'm like, yeah, they won 73 games without Durant 1 year, and they won NBA Finals without Durant. So you hear me talking, you're like, well, you're kind of contradicting yourself, Wade, because you're talking about how they won without Durant and they didn't really need him. Well, yes and no. They didn't need him to win 73 games, but they needed him to win the NBA Finals that year, and he wasn't on the team.
Yeah.
They had him that year, they would have won the finals then too. They didn't need him that first year the Warriors won the NBA Finals, but they did need him without question the last 2 years, especially last year. And you can really make an argument that they might not even be where they are today without Durant this year. I don't know if they'd beat Houston in six games without Durant playing at all. He was terrific in that series. He was terrific against the Clippers. The Clippers took – people forget the Clippers won two games at Golden State. The Clippers took the Warriors to six in round one with a healthy Kevin Durant. You take Durant out of the equation, do the Warriors beat the Clippers? I like to think they do, but I don't think they beat the Rockets without Kevin Durant. So you need Kevin Durant to get to this point to where now, and by the way, this is all based on some luck. Because if the Warriors are playing the Nuggets, I don't think there's any way the Warriors are up 3-0 on the Nuggets right now.
Not without KD.
No.
No.
So because the Nuggets blew a 17-point lead in Game 7, the Western Conference semifinals in Denver, because they blew that game, the Warriors get the Blazers. And it was the best possible time for Durant to get hurt. Because if it was the Nuggets series, I bet you Durant, they'd be pushing him to play tonight or in Game 3 already back the other night. Mm. But against Portland, you don't need him because it's the perfect matchup for Golden State. They're in the heads of Portland. Portland doesn't have the championship DNA. I don't know if Denver does either, but Denver had guys that caused matchup problems. Portland, Golden State matches up with Portland times 10. So all you got to do is slow down Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum, you're in great shape. Whereas Nuggets, they got Murray. They're really better defensive team than Portland. Jokic is a matchup nightmare. The Warriors, no question, would need Kevin Durant, I think, to beat the Nuggets in a seven-game series. But because of circumstance, and Portland squeaked by, came back to win, and it coincides with Durant getting hurt late in the Rockets series, now the Warriors have won four straight games without Durant, and people are like, well, see, we don't need him. That's convenient. You take Steph Curry off the Warriors and Durant's playing against Portland. I think you'd still be up 3-0. Yeah. Does that mean the Warriors don't need Steph Curry on their team anymore? That's just a silly argument. It's based – if this series was 2-1 or as Damian Lillard said, we should be up 2-1, would people be saying they don't need Durant?
Absolutely not.
Of course not. So because Curry's been great and because they've won three games against a team that they own – suddenly it's we don't need Durant. Well, you're right. If you're going to play the Portland Trailblazers in the playoffs from here till eternity, you probably don't need Kevin Durant. You're right. You're absolutely right. And if you go up against the Bucks and the Raptors, one of those teams in the NBA Finals, can you win without Durant a seven-game series? Yeah, you can. You can. But your odds are a lot better with Kevin Durant. And by the way, what happens if you play the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard gets hurt or he gives it all he's got in a seven-game series, and they beat the Bucks, and then Leonard's got nothing left? See, we don't need Durant. Wait a minute. if Kawhi Leonard's healthy, you want Durant on the floor against a team with Kawhi Leonard. I'm just saying. So it is amazing how quickly people just jump the wagon and overreact to four games, which game six in Houston, I was not surprised all Golden State won that game because, although I picked Houston to win, I wasn't surprised because here's what usually happens. When a guy goes down, team usually rallies for a game or two. Guys pick it up because they know they have to. Then eventually we go back to, okay, now we need this guy. But here come the Blazers walking into town. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's like the Warriors are playing games with the Blazers. Eh, we're down 17 this game, down 18. Eh, big deal. Imagine if Golden State just actually played a full game. Because they flipped a switch twice in this series. Mm-hmm. And Portland, the best they got was against a team that hadn't even flipped the switch yet. Now you add Kevin Durant back in the equation. And that's why I know you and I never have thought that Golden State's going to lose this year as long as everybody's healthy. We always say that, as long as everybody's healthy. If there's no KD and the Warriors play the Bucks, I think the Bucks win the series, although I would not be shocked at all if Golden State still wins it. And then there was talk about this. Okay, so you don't need Kevin Durant. If you believe they don't need Kevin Durant, okay, then fine. Let Kevin Durant go away this offseason. Who's the NBA favorite next year? If Kevin Durant's not on the Warriors, and assuming Durant doesn't go to the Rockets or back to the Thunder, which even with the Thunder, I think you still pick the Warriors possibly be better. Who's the favorite? Wouldn't Golden State be one of the favorites?
Probably Golden State, yeah.
I think a lot of people say it'd be a pretty wide-open thing, and I agree. But you could argue Golden State still would be one of the favorites. So it is a luxury, but it's a luxury that the Warriors have needed the last 2 years. And more than likely, they still need that luxury in the NBA Finals.
I think one of the things that people don't understand, too, is like when we go back and say they won without KD once before. Okay, they had a bench back then,
yes,
too.
They have no bench
they
now.
They have no bench right now. So,
although they played pretty well in Game 3 against Portland.
Yeah, but again, that's matchups.
And it's Portland,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's Portland. Mm-hmm. So you can't. That bench is not going to have the same success against Milwaukee.
Or Toronto. I agree.
But Milwaukee, I go to Milwaukee.
That's
a
bad matchup. Exactly. And they go 9-10 deep. Now, Toronto's running their guys out there for 40 minutes a game.
I mean,
that would be the great matchup for the Warriors. Yeah. And they might be able to win that one without Durant because both teams don't have a lot of a bench.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you definitely want, if you're Golden State and KD can't play, you want Toronto, not Milwaukee.
So
because Milwaukee, like I said, they're balanced. I think they're a smarter team.
Yeah, I think so,
as far
too.
As all around.
Right.
I mean, Kawhi makes some good decisions. I mean, he's going to lead that team. There's no question
Eric
about
Bledsoe's
that.
Eric Bledsoe's a tougher matchup than Kyle Lowry.
You've got a guy like, I mean, Portland does not have anybody like Giannis. Nobody has anybody like Giannis.
No.
The Warriors have played probably. Like, the only comparison to Giannis, what he does is KD.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, his size and the whole repertoire.
Athleticism.
They're like clones. Mm-hmm. Giannis is a little younger.
Sure.
Has more upside.
Durant's a better outside shooter.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, maybe that's something that Giannis can develop as he continues to get better.
I think he will.
So that's what I'm saying is, like, they've got the young version of KD on their team.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody else that you can see that does those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem if KD's not out there.
I agree.
To be mano-a-mano with Giannis in an NBA Finals matchup. You've got to have somebody out there.
That's what Barkley said. He said, they're not beating the Bucks without KD.
No. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say they can't. Barkley also said Portland was going to win this series at the beginning of it.
I couldn't believe he said that.
But I'm saying, I'm not going to say they can't win it without KD, even if they play Milwaukee, but it's going to be a lot harder. There's no question. They're not going to roll through them like they did Portland here.
Which people would say, well, duh, Captain Obvious. But it is. It's so true. And we simplify it. But KD, they've needed the last 2 years, and they're going to, and more than likely, need him this year. And maybe it works out where they don't, but they catch the right breaks and they get the Raptors or somebody gets hurt. You know, if Giannis gets hurt in the NBA Finals in Game 3 or something, I mean, maybe, you know, let's think back when the Bulls beat the Lakers. You know, Magic was hurt, Byron Scott got hurt, everybody on the Lakers got hurt towards the end of that series. The Bulls were still the better team, but it was a lot easier.
Sure.
You know, Terry Teague was starting, for crying out loud, for the Lakers. So you do sometimes catch some breaks. And the Warriors, you know, they caught a huge break last year, crispy. Listen, I don't even know if the Warriors beat the Rockets with everybody healthy and Kevin Durant if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rockets had the Warriors beaten last year. And then Chris Paul got hurt and everything changed. So, but you don't, they just have an embarrassment of riches. I mean, You've got Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. Now Draymond Green's playing great. And he's, you know, honestly, his antics aren't as bad now that Kevin Durant's not on the floor. So maybe that adds to the whole hypothesis. Well, the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant.
I think so.
I think he's like, dude, I got to really focus in. I can't be stupid getting these tees. I got to drive the ball, kick it, be a better player all around because KD's not on the floor to do those things.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green does a lot of what Kevin Durant does at a smaller scale, but still on a big scale, but not where he's going to, you know, Green's not a scorer. Green's not a shooter, but Green can do a lot of the other things Kevin Durant does well. He can distribute. He can play really good defense. He can, you know, yell at his guys, get them fired up. Draymond Green's having a great series against Portland, but it's a perfect matchup for Golden State. And we said that before the series began. All right, the NHL playoffs, the Sharks feeling blue. The Blues win 5-0 last night in San Jose. Remember we talked about home ice not meaning much? 5-0, Blues over the Sharks. How do you lose 5-0 in Game 5 at home in a series of that magnitude?
I don't know about that.
Bad time to lay a big fat egg. So the Blues have a chance to close out Game 6 at home in St. Louis against the Sharks. That'll be coming up tomorrow night. And if the Blues win, they would take on the Bruins, St. Louis versus Boston, for the NHL Stanley Cup. And the story was Mr. Schwartz for St. Louis. He has 10 goals this postseason. The hat trick last night.
That's two, and that one kept away from Tarasenko by the stick of Burns. Towards the net, a hat trick for Schwartz, his second of the postseason.
So the hat trick and the Blues one went away from the Stanley Cup Finals. Other notes to pass along to you. Mike D'Antoni, head coach of the Rockets. We were just talking about the Rockets. He has made a decision. He wants to coach, it looks like, possibly 3 more years with Houston. So we'll have the chuck the threes for another few years with Houston, which, hey, it's worked pretty well, but it hasn't been good enough to beat the Warriors, overcome them. And the Denver Broncos are closing in on working out a deal with Chris Harris, who's already a member of the Broncos, of course, former KU star. But it looks like there'd been talk about maybe Denver would have to trade him if they can't come to an agreement, or that he would hold out. And it sounds like they're on the verge of putting something together. So stay tuned for all of that. Anything else you want to add?
I was, if Chris Harris wants to come to Kansas City, I'd take him.
I would take him with the Chiefs in a heartbeat.
I'd take him.
I would take him in a heartbeat. I saw something the other day saying that the Chiefs need a trade or should trade for Le'Veon Bell. The Jets just signed him, but the coach didn't want him. And the Jets have already paid the big signing bonus. So he's actually, the contract is like 2 years, $17 million the Chiefs could take on and have Le'Veon Bell. I'm like, well, sure, I would take him if we could get him, but I don't think that really is necessary. But
Chiefs have enough issues on the team right now.
Yeah, that's kind of what I don't know if that's the way you want to go either.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I wouldn't complain about him if he produced, but.
Yeah, but he sat out a year, too. That's another big if, and I think he just turned 30, which is always that year where you start to worry about running backs and their durability. So those are the last nuggets to share with you. Have a great day, everyone.